Thank you for listening to a message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. The following sermon was recorded during our Sunday morning worship service. The notes for this sermon are available on our website at www.manhattanchurch.org/sermon-notes. We hope that this message will be helpful to you and encourage you to explore the Word of God. And now, this week's message.
Reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 26. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore, and then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the boat, in the other boat, to come and help. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him.
While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hands and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses.
One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now the Pharisees and teachers of the law began to think to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today."
Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciple answered, "but yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering."
Thank you, Jason and Melanie. Thank you so much. That was a lot of scripture. We're Church of Christ. We're under a lot of scripture. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm just so happy to see you all. And yes, the crowd has doubled since we started. So I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you to Hans for our opening and welcoming a prayer. Valerie for that beautiful community prayer. Micah for that beautiful song and your communion meditation. And Melanie and Jason for those wonderful readings, a lot of readings there. And always the praise team for their constant presence in our services by sharing their talents and spirits with us. I am so glad to share with you something today, and hopefully it will give you what I'd like to call a takeaway from our service. I always think that we should have a takeaway. I always try to make a takeaway for myself. It's going to be pretty simple, but hopefully something that you can think about during the week and will give you comfort and resolve. I'm no theologian or scholar of the Bible, but I do, however, strive to have, as all of you, a heart for God, one that's filled with kindness and love, generosity, compassion, empathy, justice, patience, all the gifts of the Spirit, and most important to me, sincerity. As you all may know, and thank you for your words and your prayers and words of comfort, I recently lost my mother to lymphoma and other age-related issues a month ago, tomorrow. I was with her during her intense pain, unrelenting pain, frustration for healing, lack of mobility, inability to eat, to breathe, to communicate. I was fortunate to be with her in those last days as she smiled and very quietly breathed her last breath. She's now dancing with the angels, and she is a good tap dancer. When she was in middle school, she tap danced on the radio. Okay, no, not on the radio, but she was tap dancing. The radio was, I don't really know how that works, really. I mean, how do you tap dance on the radio? You can't see them. You just hear, like, you know, and lots of breathing and stuff. And I don't really know how that works, but it was a big deal in Anniston, Alabama, when she was tap dancing on the radio. So she is definitely dancing in heaven now. I also had the honor of speaking at her funeral. I'm the eldest and really wanted to say something about who she was and how she lived in this world. People were so lovingly and beautifully reminding me of things about my mother. They told me about how she helped them, urged them to harness their creativity, mentored them for leadership, cared for them in times of trouble and grief, and made them smile with her warm hospitality. So today, on my heart, for a hopeful takeaway, is a quote, as well as a lot of scripture. Like I said, you know, we're Church of Christ. I've always loved this quote from Maya Angelou. She did not create this quote. I did find that out, but she is always sort of attributed to saying this. The quote is, and that this is my first slide, if you can put that up. I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. Of course, the things that you say and do may be forgotten, but all play into the how you make them feel part. This powerful message is a beautiful reminder that the emotional connection, empathy, compassion, respect, acceptance, sincerity, kindness, laughter, encouragement, and love you share with others leaves a much deeper, more permanent impression than any specific word or actions. They say that people will always remember how you made them feel, that heart feeling, before you recall, oh, because they said this or because they did that. I think of the people in my life who made me feel just so wonderful. My grandmother, Nanelle, who made me feel so good because of her smile and unwavering support and her squeals of delight. She did. She squealed with delight when she saw me. My son, Hans, for so many things. I'll never forget him waking up from his nap and standing on the edge of the crib, and I would just listen outside, and he would go, "Hi." And I would go, "Hi," and he would go, "Hi," and we would do the one-up, and, you know, sweetest thing I've ever seen, and it just stays in my heart. He can't sing that high now. I remember my dear husband's eyes when we said our wedding vows, and I always get a really warm feeling from our little doggy when I come home. No one greets you like a dog, and I'm not a dog person, but now I am. I remember kind words from friends and from family and kind deeds and beautiful feelings. It's all what I call heart memory, right? Heart memory. Okay, now, I want you to think of a person who gives you a heart memory. Could be a parent, sibling, grandparent. Could be an important teacher, a friend, someone on the street who pays you a compliment. Anyone, just think for a second. How did they make you feel in your heart? Loved? Heard? Seen? Safe? Inspired? Joyful? Respected? Trusted? Bold? So many more feelings. Now, another question. Do you think you got this heart feeling or memory because of their hearts? I'm going to go back to that question. Unfortunately, I must address the elephant in the room for me when I was preparing this. As Satan would have it, I also remembered the bad heart moments. You probably all have them as well. In my career as an entertainer and an event planner, I've had numerous wonderful theatrical productions, weddings, and corporate events. I remember the beautiful shows and the music and the laughter and the super wonderful, intensely happy couples that had special moments of their lives together and successful business events. But there are memories of bad heart feelings given to me by very few people who only wanted to maybe get ahead by stepping on me, who didn't respect me, who didn't trust me, or were just rude on the day of the event. Those heart memories don't go away, do they? In fact, I seem to remember some of the negative times more than the amazing, good-hearted feelings I have had with wonderful people over the years. That speaks volumes to me. Why? do I remember those bad heart memories? Why? Human nature? Ah, Satan doing his job? I don't have an answer for that. So, I've got to go back and focus on the good heart memories given to me and try to dwell on those things. They far, far outshine the bad ones in number for sure. I'll refocus now, and I've always loved this scripture from Philippians 4:8. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That verse has helped me a lot. Especially when it's like a really scary movie or something, and I'm like, think about whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's noble. I don't like the scary movies. Yeah. It's not an unrealistic way of thinking. It's a positive choice that you can make in a negative situation. Now, I go back to my second bigger question. Do you think you got these heart memories from someone because of their heart? I want to look at the heart of Jesus and the examples that we have all read this morning. How did Jesus give these wonderful heart memories and even more heart changes? Scripture reveals that Jesus made people feel heard, valued, forgiven, and at peace. His presence evoked profound responses of awe, healing, hope, and inclusion. He validated the marginalized and offered comfort to the weary and gave an understanding of justice, perspective, and wisdom to the judgmental. Jesus gave heart moments to the world. The story of Zacchaeus that Hans read earlier in the service, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He was a wee little man, and he got up in the sycamore tree, the Lord he wanted to see. He probably wanted to climb the tree, well, to see him, but also maybe to get away from the crowd because they didn't like him. He was not accepted or liked in this neighborhood. Jesus, by stopping, looking, noticing Zacchaeus, and then speaking directly to him by name, showed his heart, reaching out to the unwelcome criminals and the hated. Jesus' heart of validation for Zacchaeus as a child of God, his willingness to speak to anyone who is made in God's image, made Zacchaeus feel accepted and special. And after time in his home, he felt Jesus' forgiveness. He then acted on that heart feeling by repenting and returning the taxes owed back to the people. Jesus had forever given Zacchaeus a heart memory, and all the people who observed that moment also saw the heart of Jesus. They saw that all people are loved and understood by God. And the story of the fishermen casting their nets out on the other side, Jesus showed his openness once again to all people. Fishermen, such a hard job. They were totally dependent on harvesting the sea. Jesus was teaching, and when he saw their boats nearby, he also noticed them cleaning their empty nets and asked them if they could row out so the crowd could hear him better. Jesus observed their kindness, and they did row him out. So he knew their predicament of not catching any fish and cared enough to want to help them. So we know the story. After he taught, he asked them to row the boat to deeper waters. They cast their nets. They obeyed. After the abundance that they were given, they were astonished. I think a really important part of this story is when Simon Peter saw this and was so overwhelmed by the abundance of fish, he fell to his knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Jesus calmed his fears and then invited them all on a journey that would change the rest of their lives. Talk about a heart memory. Jesus' awareness of their need, kindness, generosity, and then compassion when Peter was fearful tells us a lot about the heart of Jesus. The story of the leper. He approaches Jesus because of his faith, and Jesus could help him. Jesus touched him. Okay, nobody touches a leper. In fact, lepers were told that they have to yell, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that no one would come near them. They didn't want to make them sick. Jesus' heart was once again one of acceptance of the outcast. He had a heart of humility and vision. He told the man, after he healed him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Jesus wanted this healing of an outcast, not because of his sin, but a physical disease, also to be a testimony to the priests. He was trying to touch the priest's heart as well. In the story of the paralyzed man, I'm always moved by the kindness and devotion of the man's friends who lowered him down to be healed by Jesus. Jesus commended them for their faith as his heart understood what it was to be that kind of a devoted friend. Okay, they tried to get in the house, and they couldn't because it was too crowded. So then they like went up the stairs, and then they like went to the roof, and then they like took the roof off, and then they lowered this guy. That's a friend. That's a real big friend, because I think about those logistics, and that's a really nice friend. Jesus, once again, not only healed the man, but he gave wisdom and a heart of love and understanding to the crowd who was criticizing his actions. It says in Luke 26, "Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, 'We have seen remarkable things today.'" The stoning of the woman, I have always found this story so amazing. It's the story of the potential stoning of the adulterous woman. Just the woman, not the man. Don't get me started. As we know, Jesus not only saved the woman and gave his heart of forgiveness and justice, but also gave the heart of wisdom, justice, and sincerity to the people who went away without throwing the stone. Scripture says, they kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and he said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Oh, wait, that was a different thing to say. And it showed Jesus' heart for justice. You know that woman's life was completely changed by Jesus' acceptance, forgiveness, and love for her. Jesus gave her freedom. All the other people saw the heart of Jesus that was radically different than just a heart for the law. It was a heart of sincere and true justice. And finally, the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She'd suffered for years and had medical expenses and just was getting worse. You know, I can only think of what she was thinking when Jesus came by, because she knew, if I touch him, he will become unclean. And I don't want to do that to Jesus. But I really want to be healed, and I really believe he can heal me. And so she reached out and touched his garment. I love how the scripture says she knew she was healed immediately. And then I can only imagine how she felt when Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" I would have been like, oh. I commend her for coming forward. Scripture says she was trembling because she just made Jesus unclean and admitting it was her. He then showed his heart of compassion and acceptance and love by calling her daughter. She was welcomed into the family of God, and it was her faith, a faith that Jesus knew she had, that had healed her. There are a few other ways we see the heart of Jesus, a rest and relief. Jesus made the exhausted feel deeply comforted by saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Unconditional welcome when they were taking the children. No, don't, kids, go away. He said, "Bring the little children, let the children come to me." And then we have the wonderful example of Jesus during his trial and crucifixion. Hardly said a word, His actions were that of obedience and humility and doing what needed to be done to save the world. I'm sure that gave an amazing heart feeling when people realized that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, the Son of God. I think if I had been there that day, what I would have witnessed and felt. This experience never left their hearts. It changed their lives and our lives. And many went on to spread that good news of Jesus Christ, God, come to earth. So I look to Jesus, the radical teacher who has a heart of compassion, grace, justice, openness, patience, forgiveness, acceptance, encouragement, care, and love. If we can take even a few of these heart qualities, here's the takeaway part. Take away just a few of these heart qualities and make them a steady presence in our hearts. What a difference could be made in the world, right? For our benediction today, I want to share with you Maya Angelou's full quote that includes this last sentence. She said, it's a lot, I like it. I've learned that no matter what happens or how bad it seems today, life does go on and it will be better tomorrow. I've learned that you can tell a lot about a person by the way he or she handles these three things: a rainy day, lost luggage, or tangled Christmas tree lights. I've learned that regardless of your relationship with your parents, you'll miss them when they're gone from your life. I've learned that making a living is not the same thing as making a life. I've learned that life sometimes gives you a second chance. I've learned that you shouldn't go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. You need to be able to throw something back. I've learned that whenever I decide something with an open heart, I usually make the right decision. I've learned that even when I have pains, I don't have to be one. I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch someone. People love a warm hug or just a friendly pat on the back. I've learned that I still have a lot to learn. I've learned that people will forget what you said. They'll forget what you do. But they'll never forget how you made them feel. Jesus, during his time on this physical earth, gave us the perfectly radical example of how to do this for others. This is why the story of Jesus has lived for so many centuries and resonates with so many people. May Jesus live in your hearts and minds this week as you spread his heart in this world. Amen.